People through the ages have thought, oh, it's a frivolous book. It's only talking of love. Oh yes, it's talking of love. But on a basis so grounded in the truth of the real love that there is of God for mankind. You know, when you look at the Song of Solomon, you see it third in the list of the books of Solomon. But actually, most of us believe that it was the first book written. Why do we say that? Why do we think that? Well, you've got the other two books, the Proverbs, which is actually a book of learning, a book of instruction. Ecclesiastes is a book of work and workers. And there's a time for everything under the sun, but all is vanity of vanities. Song of Solomon could have only been written when he was talking about his first true love, which had to have been before Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Because during that time, we note and we see the revelation of Scripture showing to us that Solomon had a big downfall. That big downfall was when he started to join up with women that believed in other gods, not the true God. The Song of Solomon's, look at the first verse. The Song of Solomon's, which is Solomon's. The inference we find in that very first verse is that he has a message to give. It's a song. It's not just written, not just words. It's something that's coming from his heart. Now, being married to somebody who has sung a lot in her life, sung in the choirs in Victoria and many other things done in her life through singing, and I can honestly say it was her voice that touched me. A song made from the heart reveals a lot to us. And in the Song of Solomon, we're not going to touch the book. No, we're going to touch a few factors of it this evening. To go through the book or even the first chapter, we'll go through till midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, just the first chapter. But we're going to look at some factors in it of what Solomon explains to us. But before we do so, let's have a look at five factors of this book. People think it's just a love story, but in fact, it's a poem. It's poetry written down in such a way that it makes us think when we are paying attention to the poetic side of it. It's prophetical. It teaches of the Messiah in Israel and the Messianic reign. It's pictorial. Yes, it talks of Christ and the church. And it's also practical. And on the fifth part, it's personal. So we can all, from this book, gain something for us, for our own personal benefit and use in living for our Lord and Savior. So let's read first. From verse 1 down to verse 7 for now. If we have time, we can read more. The Song of Solomon's, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with his kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me, because I am black. Because the sun hath looked upon me, my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And we're sure the Lord will bless us the reading of his precious word. Amen. This wonderful book opens up to us factors that we've never concerned ourselves with. But as I said earlier, the principle of it is that wonderful word, love. Only the second verse now. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. When we go to the end of Romans, what is it Paul says about the church? That we should greet one another with a holy kiss. People look at it here and say, oh, this is a bit lovey-dovey. No, it's not. It's the reality. It shows an affection. And now we have to look at it in the affection of what our Savior has done for us. He loved us with such a love that he gave himself willingly upon the cross of Calvary to pay what we deserve to pay. He took us out of a miry pit, established our feet upon a way. The affection of the Lord to us was shown forth when he touched us that first time. You know, some people believe that on a meeting, oh, they're all Christians there, we don't have to preach the gospel. I totally disagree. Why? I love to remember that very first experience of knowing the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Why do I love that point? Because it reminds me of what I was and what he's done to me and for me. And this is the affection that we find here of Solomon with the Shunammite lady, his wife-to-be. It's an affection of first coming in contact with her. The first contact that we ever had with the Lord Jesus should be a memorial content in our lives. Kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And if we were here to hear the words of the Lord Jesus speaking to us more fully, more clearly, the words of his mouth entering into our hearts and our lives day by day, hour by hour. Somebody said to me one day when I said that, he said, oh, but I have to work. I have to teach in school. Oh, yeah. But you can still speak to the Lord in prayer in your heart. There's nothing wrong with that. I've been with a man who was driving down a motorway in South Wales, 70 miles an hour. And he said, let's pray. Sister so-and-so is being operated in the hospital just now. And he opened his heart in prayer. Didn't take his eyes off the road. Didn't take his attention off the road. But his heart was where it should have been, with the Lord. And listening to his word in thoughts as he goes. For thy love is better than wine. Two factors, love and wine. Wine is man-made. Love is God-made. It's not man-wood, it's God-wood. And this is something that we should really remember. The love that we have one for another should be in the Lord Jesus. That love should unite us more fully and more firmly with desire to serve him until that coming day when we shall see him face to face. I don't know when he's coming. I've had this question asked so many times, and I've reiterated, the scripture doesn't tell me. The scripture tells me that even the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't know the day or hour. The Father does. And we should leave it with him. But we should be prepared for that day. And if we are not living in the love and unity of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're not thinking of that day. We're not considering that day. Because if we were living in the knowledge that he's coming again and coming soon, we would have a greater love and unity in the assembly one for the other. And this is how the Lord wants us to be. This is what Solomon was wanting us to be. For thy love is better than wine. Wine was a thing that they loved, that they drank. But as I said, it is man-made, not God-made. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. You know, when you go to John's Gospel, chapter 12, can never forget that one. Maria was there, and she anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus with balsam, and she dried his feet with her hair. But one thing that is more important than that factor there is that the house was full of the perfume in the presence of the Lord. When he is in the midst of us, there should be a feeling, there should be a power of the sense of his presence more fully with us day by day. And especially when we gather round his table to remember him. Those two words are very important on the Lord's Day morning around the table. It's to remember him in all his beauty. And if we did that, we'd find that the ointment will be poured forth more fully, and we'd feel the flavor of our Savior in our midst more fully. Oh, Solomon was teaching that, yes. Look at the next two words. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Draw me. Does the Lord draw us into his presence? Does the Lord draw us together to unite around his table, to unite in the preaching of the gospel, to unite to work amongst the children in the Sunday school? Is he drawing our attention to do what he wants us to do? And we say, well, not today. I don't want it that way. No, no. I prefer this, I prefer that. You know, in Brazil, there's one factor that everybody knows about Brazil. They're crazy on football. And the brethren asked me a couple of years back, oh, Jeff, the World Cup is on Sunday afternoon. Are we having a meeting? I said, what's the World Cup got to do with it? We're citizens of heaven. And this is what we have to remember. Yes, I love to watch Brazil play. Sometimes Then he usually criticizes me because I say, oh, they're not playing good today. They're not there. But okay. But it does not interfere with the Lord's work. As I said, we are, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, we are citizens of heaven. And as so, we should show it to this world in which we live in all senses and ways possible. I would ask you, is he drawing you into a greater unity for his glory? Solomon, we read here, draw me, we will run after thee. Are we running or are we dragging our feet? Think about it seriously. The end of that verse, he says, will we remember thy love more than wine? Why? Because the love is filling the heart. Wine fills the mind. I don't know if you're ever used to using it. Well, I've seen it a lot in my family. Wine and drink fills the mind. Doesn't fill the heart. It disturbs the heart. It disturbs the body. And we find here, we will remember thy love more than wine. The things of time and sense are passing. Not just wine. Think of things, natural things of the day. They're passing. They can be here today and gone tomorrow. But the love of the Lord abides forever and never changes. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Somebody looked at this and said, oh, we got a bit of racism here. No, we haven't. No racism in the scriptures. I am black and comely. I was. I don't deny it. My heart was as black could be. And I remember singing a chorus with the children. Even though my heart was black, his blood cleansed me. Changed us. Color has nothing to do with this. There's a lot of colors going in these verses, but I want to move on to things more important because you come to verse 7. Now this is where I want you to think. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Unity. We need the instruction. Yes, we have to understand that what God is telling us in his word is correct. I've heard so many times through my years of life serving the Lord that people say, oh, but the Bible says this, but then it contradicts here, and it does says that there and that. No, the Bible doesn't contradict one word in the scriptures. It was totally and utterly inspired through the Spirit of God to those that wrote it. It's not man's word. It's God's word. And this is the reality and the wonder of what we have in our hands today. God has given us what we need. And Solomon is saying here, or should I say the Shumanite is saying here actually, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. If we want to know the right place, where do we go? To ask so-and-so down the road or ask so-and-so down that side? No, no. 66 books. Full of the truth of God's word that tells us how we should live, where we should go, what we should do. It's a book full for us to read and to discover. And the Lord could tell us as we go what he wants for us day by day. Now, I don't know about you, how many times you've read this wonderful book from cover to cover. Apart from my studies, I read it once every year, Genesis to Revelation. Doesn't take long. I know, 20 minutes a day minimum. Can be 30 if you read slow. But you can read this wonderful book. And you know, every time I read it, I find something new popping out that I haven't read before. Well, I have read it. But our Lord doesn't want us that moment to understand. But when he wants us to show us, it pops out. But we have to read it to know it, so that he can tell us what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live. This word is wonderful. It's full of God's truth for us. And what it says, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest. I knew some young men when I first went to Recife. Very sad, actually. And one of them said to me one day, oh yeah, I can't come. I'm reading these books. We were going to do some work on the building side of the new building in Recife. I said, okay, what books are these? Oh, they're books teaching me about God's word. I asked him one simple question. How many hours a week or days a week do you read those books? And how many minutes do you read God's word? We can read what we like. I think I've got somewhere in the region of 400 to 500 books in my library. Or deposit, or should I say, in FOS. Haven't got space to fill it out. But I don't read them all the time. I'll read one now and again if I've got a problem in something I can't understand properly. But I will read and read and read and read these wonderful words I have in my hand today to understand what God wants us to know from his word and where God wants us to be. Where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. If we're the Lord's, we're God's flock. We're his flock, and we should know. You know, the one thing they don't know about in Brazil that we know about here in England. Sheep. How do you bring the sheep together? Okay, most of the today have a dog, to, and the dog runs round and gathers them all up together. In Brazil, they don't have that because they don't have sheep folds. They've got lots of cattle, but not sheep. You know, it's a wonderful experience to see the young lambs jumping over the field in the months of April and May. We don't see that in Brazil. But we see this jumping around of the young flocks in Brazil, in England, and everywhere. And then we wonder why we have no young people growing in the assemblies today. What are they missing? What's going wrong? Simple. They're not being taught where they should be. They're not being taught the fundamental truths of the scriptures. Solomon was there, and the Shulamite says, tell me, I want to know. I want to be in the right place. When we read the book of Ruth, wonderful story, chapter 2. Ruth went into the right place. And I believe it's because God showed her the place to go. She went into the right place. She reaped in the right person's fields. She soon later turned in to be his wife. And from there, we have the follow-up and we have David. God's ways are past finding out. If we know the right place and where we should be and how we should go, we can see what the Lord would have us to do to increase blessing in our midst and glory to our Savior. Being in the right flock, being in the right place, not the flocks of thy companions. Well, if I was in the flocks of with my companions of old, whether I'd be alive, I certainly wouldn't have been in Brazil. One never knows. The Lord tells us where we should be and what we should do. We should follow his word. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Now, hold on. You look at this and you say to yourself, what is this? Solomon's saying his future wife looks like horses in Pharaoh's chariots. It's a metaphoric phrase in poetry. It's nothing to do to say that she was like a load of stallions or wild horses. No. Just the way the scripture shows it. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. You know verse 12, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. You know, through my life I've been to some meetings. Can never forget one meeting in the city of Santos. We were sitting around the Lord's table. One brother, myself, and seven sisters. Even in the silence, when the sisters were obeying the truth of the scriptures, you could feel the presence of the Lord. And the sweet-smelling savor of incense going up to his presence. You know, it made me realize sometimes where I'm going wrong. Why isn't it like that every day, every Lord's Day? While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A sweet smelling aroma that goes up to the Lord's presence. The beauty of his presence in our midst. Some people say, well, the Lord is never there. Oh no. If he's not there with you, there's something wrong with you. Not with him. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. The principle is based there. We are in his presence, in his name. He promises to be with us. My spikenard sendeth forth the sweet smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. You know, when you look at these three words, spikenard, myrrh, and camphor, you study, there's a sweet aroma, a strong feeling of the presence of that within the middle, a bundle of myrrh. It's so strong, so you know, I feel at times we've lost it. Have you lost it? Lost the reverence of the presence of the Lord. It's so good, it's so wonderful when we have it. But look at it, it says in here. I'm supposed to finish at 9, am I? Sorry. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also. Our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under the shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me. Oh yeah. Note this word clearly. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Who brings us to the banqueting house? Why are we there if it's not to praise and glorify his name? Oh, we come because we have to come. Forget it then, go home. Oh yeah, that's my view. You may not like it, but it's fact. Because if you're not coming, drawn by the Lord into his banqueting house, there's something wrong. But I want you to think about that last phrase. His banner over me is love. Oh, but it says was love. Yes. But there's no change today. It's the same today as it was then. It was love to her. It's love to us. His banner is always with us. That love is all should always be in our presence. A love to dwell amongst the people of God, praising and glorifying our Savior until he comes. You know, I've just touched a bit. Some may think I've been a bit critical on some factors. Well, to be honest, there's a lot more in this than I've actually said. I have on my computer in Portuguese the first two chapters written. And I'll tell you, that's about 20 pages. So what you've had tonight is just a touch, a tip of the iceberg. What there is in this book, my brethren, to learn and to appreciate of our Lord's love to us, and how Solomon in poetry, in song, in picture, and in practice put forth for us to appreciate the beauties of this book is more than tongue can tell. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Think about it seriously. And may the Lord bless these few comments and small meditation on his word of the love that he has for us, in that he gave his son willingly, and that we might come willingly to the throne of grace, bringing our trophies and crowns before his feet to glorify his name forever. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for the preciousness of thy word. And we pray, our God, that thou would help us to read it and to understand it more fully in talking with thee, in knowing, our Father, thy presence with us, to educate us, our Father, in the beauty of thy word, and to live in thy saving grace until that coming day when we shall see thee face to face and we shall know the truth of that wonderful love that saved us on Calvary's tree, face to face. Our Father, what a glorious day that will be. But until that coming day, our Father, we pray that thou would help us to understand, to appreciate, to learn more of the beauty of that grace, that we may live thereby and show to others how the Lord has saved us and is willing to save them too. We give thee then our thanks and pray, our Father, that that which is not of thee shall be forgotten, but that which is of thee from thy word will remain in our hearts and lives, that we may live for our Saviour, as we thank thee for these moments in his precious name. Amen.